I am starving. I haven't had lunch since yesterday, so I'm gonna head over to Callahan's.
Oh, no, 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 don't go there. They totally skimp on pickles. Let me go to Big Head Joe's for you. They have the most insane burritos.
I don't much go for ethnic food.
No, trust me. They have one that's called the Meat Tornado. Literally killed a guy last year.
You had me at Meat Tornado.
Kate.
Hey, what's up?
This is usually the part of the show where I say hi, Will. Hi, Kate. But someone's not here today.
Who's that? Who's not here today?
His name is Will, and he's my brother, and he's not here. You know why he's not here, Kate?
Why isn't he here?
As of 20 minutes ago, he was still asleep.
My kind of man.
God bless him.
I
am the slothiest piece of crap, but I cannot do sleeping past 11.
Yeah, but
I love how I brag about that. 11 is a limit.
No. I'd say noon. Sleeping past noon, and then you're irresponsible.
Well, he's done it. I mean, I got up just shaking my goddamn head at like 1:30, just like, you lazy piece of ass. And I realize he works very hard, so I can't really call him that.
Doesn't he stay out really late? He's on a different schedule.
He was passed out last night. By 10.
Let's
bring down the motorhead. Let's bring down the Lemmy. It's a little too energetic, given we're talking about Sleeping Beauty. Still sawing Z's. Yeah, so no ill will. Ha, ha, ha. What a delightful pun.
That was awful, actually.
Yeah. No ill will.
I like me some puns. And
puns kind of suck. I'm sorry.
I really like puns because they suck.
The pun is the lowest form of humor.
I am a fan of the underdog, and the pun is the underdog
in
the world.
Oh, God. The pun is the Clint Howard of the comedy world.
Yeah, it's got its place.
Touche. did see Rock and Roll High School a couple days ago. You know what? Clint Howard as Eagle Bauer, not bad.
See, there you go.
All right, let's start this. Let's start this. Right. Let's make it official.
Let's get it on.
Exactly. Thank you for soling it up a bit, my Mexican co-host. Welcome to Papa's.
Wait, I just got a speeding ticket, and I was offended they wrote white, non-Hispanic on my car.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, you don't look it.
What? No, I know why. I for some reason got offended, even though I am like zero Hispanic.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, no.
Say it en español.
No.
There you go.
No.
Okay, there.
Remember
that's how you shook your head.
Pledge.
Welcome to Papa's Basement. New live episode this day, February 5th, is it? The year of our Lord, 2011.
Someday.
You're listening live at fcac.org/WEBR. Show archives and my writing as well at inpapasbasement.com. Tweet me at Papa's Basement.
Tweet
Kate at Atomic Kate.
That's Can you Kate spell with a that C. for me?
A-T-O-M-I-C-C-A-T-E. It's very simple, yet she makes it so hard.
My baloney has a first
name. So difficult.
Wait a minute, I have to write this one out.
So difficult for Kate. Will, who isn't here, you know what? Follow him at Billy Basil. You can watch his timeline as he does nothing but try to sleep with people. It's pretty entertaining. He's my secret Twitter follow.
Like most men.
Yeah, but I think most people try to be more discreet about it. He's like new to the technology. So his timeline will just literally be like a back and forth with two different women. I'm like, why have you not visited them already or had them over or whatever?
He's a slow mover.
He is. He
likes to build up a little bit.
He runs a tight game of sloth seduction. He makes it nice and slow.
He sees you from a tree across the forest.
Two years
later, you might meet at the same tree.
Touching your moss-encrusted paws, one over the other. Like
your
80s
two toes,
movie sex scene.
Your two toes hooked together.
Yeah. But give him a visit. It's kind of unintentionally funny. I love him. But check it out. And if I'm wrong, I'll bite my damn tongue. Because last I looked a couple days ago, nothing but a back and forth between a couple chicks and him. And good for him. Good for him. Mm, he deserves it.
You're just jealous.
Not especially. I think I hope he's single and doing that. or that his significant other isn't on Twitter. That's all I'll say.
Oh, I thought he was single, but...
I don't know. He's in a weird little gray zone. He's single-ish.
Mm-hmm.
To quote Mitch Hedberg, I'm single, mm-hmm. but I got a girl who would be upset to hear that.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
All right.
Kate, did you catch a look at Tiara walking in?
No, I did not.
Okay, Tiara, if you're out front, please walk on in. And I know they don't listen to us anymore, the production guys.
It's not on out front anymore.
We're on in the crapper. That's it.
Oh, are we?
We feed in the crapper in the hallway. Tiara, if you're here, get in here, please.
Why are you named after a crown, Tiara?
That's racist.
No, it's not. It's a question.
I don't know. She's black, so I find that racist. I don't know why she's named Tiara. Tiara is a gorgeous chick. Tiara is very, very good looking. And I was kind of just stunned today because I walked in and Tiara, who usually has like the, I won't say the Robin Quivers braids because I think Robin's hair is a little funky and predator looking almost.
It is. Yeah. Yes.
But Tiara had really good hair. I liked what she did with her braids.
Yeah.
And I might have been half-assing it and not really paying attention, just walking in on the cell phone and stuff, but I think Tiara damn well shaved her head.
You know, African-American hair is very hard to upkeep.
You don't need to give me that speech. I'm an honorary black hair individual. Ever since seventh grade, I to this day remember it was traumatic. I went into a haircut with white person hair, and they shaved it to nothing, and it came in curly as F. And my dad just laughed, and he said, because he had the same hair. You know, he's like,
you black now.
Yeah, he's a Greek from Crete. It's like their equivalent of Sicilian. He's like right above Africa. So Lord knows there's some of it in the pool. And he's like, yeah, I knew that would kick in eventually.
Yeah.
It was horrible. It was so much more traumatic than my first pube. So much worse.
Why was
worse.
That traumatic?
It was weird. You really weren't weirded out the first time a hair sprouted down there?
See, you know now that you mention it, I don't even remember that.
I remember being
remember
a very...
I don't remember ever
having
any.
Yeah, this will shock you given how furry I am and I'm Greek, but I remember once it kicked in, it was a very fast process. It wasn't like Charlie Brown's head for 2 months. It was like I go to bed like, oh, hey, what's that? And I wake up and it's Lebowski's beard.
No, I don't remember gaining any body hair. I vaguely remember when I got leg hair being like wondering or noticed leg hair as a thing that I shouldn't have. But I think I mean, don't kids have leg hair? Like all little kids. It's fuzzy.
Yeah, you have like a little
peach. I don't look
fuzz
at a lot of little kids' legs.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, no, let me fill you in.
I'm asking the expert.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. Lifetime member to toddlergams.com.
No, I don't remember getting body hair. So, I guess it wasn't traumatic. I guess I just
It weirded
just
me the hell out. It really weirded me out.
Oh.
And I was slow to get chest hair too. For the longest time it was just the leader to the Peter. It was just the happy trail, a very thick.
That's awful.
A thick moss rope,
were you,
if
like
you will.
Eight with that?
I was probably like 11 for the happy trail, but the rest of it didn't fill
oh, dude,
in
that's
until
sad.
Like,
that's like sixth grade. What
yeah.
is it? Oh man, that's sad.
And of course, I had like the Latino mustache.
Oh no.
Yeah, I had that little
really?
Dewy mustache. That was like from fourth
oh.
grade on. And I had the sideburns because I didn't have the nuts to shave yet. Like I'm a little kid. I don't want to shave. It'll come back thicker. But I had the sideburns from like sixth grade on, and people would call me Elvis.
Oh, that's
And I mean,
sad.
I love him now, but maybe it's because of that. It's kind of a chicken egg deal.
Wow.
Back to Tiara.
Yeah. So she shaved her head.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, going to attack the American ideal of beauty. Don't shave your head under any circumstances. If you get cancer... That's a sad thing, and I'll say you're so brave and you're so beautiful if you've got the cancer and your
but
hair
you're,
falls
you're saying
out.
Women shouldn't shave their heads.
Women shouldn't. Guys sometimes are forced to do it via circumstances. I'll be joining the club. I'll be joining Club Will sooner or later where there's just a little too much gone, and it's like You know, your hair's doing the white flight thing.
At some point, you got to cut it down.
You got to leave the neighborhood.
And I don't think you have to shave it completely bald. I will say this, especially for older men who start to lose their hair. Okay, so my father.
Leave a Bruce Willis's worth of hair.
Bruce worth.
Yeah.
So my father, for the longest time, I mean, since I can remember, he had the Friar Tuck. He had the bald
on the
very top crown of his head, right?
And mine got into a rock fight as a kid, so he had a big dent right on the top.
Oh, nice.
And I would just, like, stick my finger in it sometimes. He never minded it that much. I would just, like, run my finger and then I'd just dip
good
in.
Good man.
Yeah.
So he had that, and for the longest time, he tried to do comb-overs and crap, and I mean, it looked ridiculous, and I'm a kid, and I know this looks ridiculous,
yeah.
But he was very vain.
Did you ever try to scare him just so the comb-over would, like, fly up?
No. Okay. Oh, I have a comb-over, well, anyway.
Because people act, you know, we live in comic book world physics.
Yeah, no, that didn't actually work. I did see a guy once at a parking garage who had a comb-over that went from one side of his head, swooped around the back. It was like 2 feet long, swooped around the back of his head and came up on the other side and went over in a big, like, if you can imagine, like a flat
turban.
Soft serve. You know?
Wow. That's almost like the 1980s, like Tony Hawk hair, you know, where the skaters had it like all to one side.
And then, but it was like all wrapped around as if you couldn't tell. His hair was all coming from one side of his head being wrapped around to the other. It was really awful. And then there was a windy day and that was hilarious.
Jesus
I really
Christ.
Enjoyed that day. It was just a giant, like, foot-tall flap that went up.
Oh, he must have looked like goddamn Rapunzel.
It was awesome.
He must have looked like six strands of Rapunzel.
But anyway, my point being about when you have the Friar Tuck, you don't – so my dad didn't shave his head totally bald. He just did the really, really short buzz cut thing, and I thought that looked so much better. Like, it made so much more sense, and you don't have to go totally bald because I understand that can be kind of a hassle. And if you don't like the look, whatever, and you get that little fuzz, and nobody really – I mean, you can see that there's hair missing, but whatever. It looks so much better.
My dad kind of had the horseshoe. I guess I'll call it the Friar Tuck. But it always looked decent on him. He just always looked old to me, though. Like, he wasn't a human being. He was an old dad.
Yeah, well, he's dad, so he's an old guy.
Yeah.
No, I know. You know, one time at Disney World, I'm really shy.
Yeah.
And so we're on, like, the Tom Sawyer ride.
You stuck a flute in your P-word?
No.
Okay.
We're on the Tom Sawyer whatever BS thing they have there.
I have never been to either of the Disneys. And if you want to know why I am the way I am. How harsh my childhood was.
So, yeah, I know. I didn't go to Disney World. Yeah. Oh.
I was just fed pancakes every morning.
So we're on this ride, and it's really crowded, and I was really shy, and there's so many people, and I started to get worried, so I reached up to grab my dad's hand, and I saw this old guy hand, and I just put my hand in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was some totally random old guy. And my dad, like, comes up and says, what are you doing?
And then I married him.
No. My dad comes up and says, what are you doing? And I look up and I'm like holding the hand of this guy. And he knows, I mean, he must be a father.
Did the guy look back and he was just leering?
He must have been a father because he didn't say anything when I grabbed his hand. And I mean,
he
didn't have the creepy
with a secret.
Look. Yeah. He didn't give me a funny look or anything, but I think he was looking around for my parents. And so when my dad
walked up and she was like, whoa, dude. She came on to me.
So, and that just freaked me out. And that was when I started looking at old people as individuals. Because clearly all old man hands were not the same.
No, they're just a faceless gray mass. It's like the end of Casino where that wall of old people just walks into the Luxor or whatever. That's exactly what old people are to me.
You're going to be
one. Just a melange of gray.
You're going to be that.
Gray.
You're just going to be the old man. You're going to be the creepy old Greek from down the street.
That bloodless, paper-thin skin that you could push through. Just like tissue
paper. You're not
going to
have that. You're not going to have that.
No.
You're going to have that scary old man.
Ah,
ruggedy.
Son of a bitch.
You're going to be a leathery, greasy man.
One of these bastards trying to make the show all about them. Hello, caller.
Yes, hello.
Hi, who is this?
Well, you were talking about the subject of hair and everything. And
yeah.
I thought I'd chime in a little bit.
Go for it.
And you didn't mention premature grayness.
Oh, I got both.
Which is,
I'm graying and I'm balding. How old are you and how gray are you?
I started going.
Oh, please turn down the radio.
Wow. Yeah, I've got it turned down.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, I started going gray at 35.
That's not premature, dude.
Actually, it was all gray at 35.
Okay. That's a little premature. I'll give you that.
I can barely hear you, though.
You can't hear me? What?
I can I can barely hear you.
Oh, yeah, is this better?
Oh, there we go.
Now equipment success.
That. Yeah, good job.
Now we're just feeding back like crazy.
Whee.
Lovely
audience. Oh, sorry about
that. Would you like me to make a piercing noise?
Echo. But so you're bald, or you're completely gray at 35.
That's correct, yes. And I'm much older than 35 now, so. I look at it this way, you know, you were talking about comb overs and stuff and everything, so I don't have that problem. I still have a full head of hair. It's just all.
That's a pretty good deal, then.
It's all white. Yeah.
I'd be totally happy with all my hair.
I don't see any problem with gray. My boyfriend Pants is going. He has a little bit of the gray hair, and I like it. I think it's cute.
And,
so.
People just say I look very extinguished, and I consider that a compliment.
Well, thank you, caller. I appreciate you calling.
Go gray hair.
Yeah. Take it easy, man.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you later.
All right. I had to let him go just for audio concerns. It was actually fun talking to the guy, but we sounded like Tommy
creepy.
Boy with the fan, like Luke. I am your father.
I was thinking more space. More
really?
Like alien things.
Yeah, you can only let so much of that through. God, why does every station ever not work?
Could you work there?
we got someone out front tugging on his hair. Come on, Andy. Hold on. Let me get this bearded maniac, this powerful bear of a man.
Now that's hair. All right.
What's up? What's your name?
Oh, I'm Christopher.
Christopher, what's up, man?
Yeah, I'm another producer here at FPA, and I just want everybody to know that what you're seeing here is the remainder of the 12.5 inches of hair that I donated this past Monday to Locks of Love.
Good Lord, man.
I
you
think
have that.
I think everybody should do that. Honestly, I think everybody should get out there. I mean, if you've got the power to grow it,
and that's
the only thing you can do, you know.
I would, but it goes straight out. I would be horrible.
You've got my brother's hair.
Yeah.
You end up looking like all those kids from the 70s.
Exactly.
I
would be like the Jackson 5.
And it's just poof.
Yeah.
Right out there. Good.
Well, thanks,
well, congratulations.
Man.
Man
well
off
done.
The
yeah.
street interview. Good. And I be careful out there. It's still icy. I busted my pinky.
Oh, no.
Well, I hope that heals up, man.
Later, guys.
Nice Take hair. It easy. Thanks for stopping in.
Nice.
I think you should grow the Greek fro.
I've done it before.
You should.
I've done
and
it.
And you know what would be awesome? If you had a pick in it.
I've done that too.
I would like that. Oh, no, you didn't.
I had the
really?
Pick with a huge black power fist on it, and I would just walk around with that. Like, I had a picked out fro for a while. It was just one summer. It was just one thing. My friend.
What?
Oh, yeah. My friend, Howie Highland, who's now a lawyer, and I'm doing this, so funny how life works out like that. But let's get back to the hair part of that.
Yeah.
And not the painful ruminations.
You're here.
Yeah. Go on. Back to the story. We went to CVS one time. We were completely sober. I mean, this will sound a little weird. And we just were like, we're each going to get some kind of, like, weird black hair product.
Wait, how old were you?
18, 17.
It does sound a little weird even for 18.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
When
you're in gangs,
kids,
as children,
though.
You make ridiculous. It's not about being good. It's about being ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we were idiots.
Yeah, I believe that.
Howie picks his weapon and he just buys a do-rag.
Yeah.
And I purchase a black power fist pick. And it's just big black plastic pick with the fist up.
Oh, okay.
And I teased the hell out of my hair and it certainly worked.
Nice.
I had the Wilt Chamberlain hair for a little bit, the Dr. Nice. J in his heyday.
Did you start telling people you were like half black?
Oh, I used to do that all the time when I was younger in high school.
Why?
I would be like, yeah, my
Not
mom's
that there's
black.
Anything wrong with it, but just, like, why would you make something like that up?
I don't know. I like tugging on their, you know, tugging on their teats, as it were. Pulling their legs. They always fell for it. No one ever wants to call
who's
you
gonna
out
question?
On it.
Yeah, who's going to question it?
Yeah, especially me. It's not like I'm blonde and blue. I'm Oates. I'm not Hall. People, if Oates said I'm half black, they'd buy it.
Yeah, probably. I'd buy it.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
All right.
Oh, here she comes. Sorry.
Oh, I love me. Don't. No. Don't apologize. God, that is like the secret
just
fact
whenever
of the
day. I hear Hall & Oates, like, I just am drawn to that song in particular because it had a panther in the video.
With a completely straight face, I can say I adore Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys can groove. Awesome. They can lay down a groove. And I would feel weird saying that if I didn't previously listen to Hall & Oates with so many black dudes that I used to work with. Because I would think it's the whitest thing on earth to be like, yeah, I'm really into Hall & Oates.
No.
Brothers I work with goddamn loved Hall & Oates,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
We bonded through Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates, you heal the races. And now we can move on.
Way more than Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney.
Screw them. Screw that Ebony and Ivory. Say, say, say. No one needs any of that. F to all that.
We did a Michael Jackson song last night. Black or White, actually.
On you did a concert, right?
Yeah, had a show last night.
I guess it's called a show. Concert implies you're like at Wembley. And
yeah, it's not quite a concert. So Aubrey was out playing a Haiti benefit, and we
how much broke out. Did you make for Haiti?
I don't know. I wasn't running it. I just show up and play.
Okay.
And bring the PA.
Well, good for
show
you.
Show up and play, bring the PA.
The man with the busted pinky, he did Locks of Love.
I think that's a good cost.
And you helped Haiti.
Yeah. And you slept in.
You know what I did last night?
Ate some cereal, I'm guessing.
I watched It's a Trap. You're like, what's It's a Trap?
Yeah, I don't know. I know Admiral Akbar, and I'm going to refrain from doing my Admiral
do
Akbar.
Do it. Do it. You got it. It's a trap. It's a trap. The Riri squid voice.
I love it.
God, Admiral Akbar.
Oh, my God. And, okay, not to bring up Robot Chicken again, but I'm going to. They do so much
Akbar. Not to do this, but here we are.
Yeah, here we are. They do so much Admiral Akbar, and I love their bit with Admiral Akbar cereal.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. I just want
for those listening at home who like got laid before the age of 30, Admiral Akbar is a Star Wars character, and he looks like, would you say, more of an octopus or a squid crammed
into a cephalopodian
space suit?
A cephalopodian race.
Like, he's got the big,
big
octopus eyes.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. It's very like a sea creature, fish,
yeah.
Squid mix. Yeah.
He looks like he stinks real, real bad. Like, he takes off that suit, and it just smells like half-baked.
And that's where I loved the idea of Admiral Akbar cereal, because I feel like it would be imitation crab meat pressed
into
O's.
Yeah, it'd just be like calamari.
Yeah.
Calamari
awesome.
And milk.
I really liked it.
Incredibly high in protein, and chewy as all hell. So last night, I watched It's a Trap, and it's the third movie in the Family Guy Star Wars parody trilogy.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there was, what was the first one called?
Blue Moon? Blue Harvest?
Blue Harvest.
Yeah.
Which why was it called that?
I have no idea.
I still don't get that one.
I don't either.
And then there's something, 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 something Dark Side.
Yeah.
I think and that was the Empire parody. And finally we had the Jedi parody, which I had at the top of the Netflix queue just for the hell of it. And it said, you know, very long wait next to it. So I'm like, oh, I'm not going to get that. I'm actually going to get one of the Benny Hill discs I'm waiting on. Oh, no, I hit that sample. It is Yakety Sax.
I love Yakety
Sax. Right. I hit that, and I'm not digging it up mid-show. But sure enough, I get the email, and it's like, hey, guess what? You're getting your damn Family Guy Star Wars thingy. It's a Trap is on the way. And I'm like, cool. That's a nice way to kill my Friday, because that's how one should view their Friday night,
yeah,
when still
something,
you know,
to kill.
A young man,
yeah.
Not married,
wow.
No kids, something
you're
to kill.
So sad.
Just get out of the way.
This time when I'm not at work.
Either this or just watch a spider in the corner of the room make its web. No.
It's only if you have a spider. Sometimes it's really sad and you can't find one.
Yeah, I got nothing going. So it arrives. And I pop it in. I'm glad that entertained you. You're still laughing away 20 seconds after that spider line.
I'm just thinking, sometimes there's a spider in the bathroom and you'd have to take a couple pillows in and make yourself comfortable and watch the spider.
Yeah, yeah. My life is dictated by the spider web watching. That is my secret fascination, apparently. So I get this, and I pop it in kind of later on in the night. And I'm like, ah, what the hell? I've done my day of God knows what I did.
Not much, apparently.
Not much. Not much.
Definitely not Locks of Love.
No, and I didn't bust my pinky walking anywhere because I was inside, safe on my bed, lying down, staring at the TV.
Thank God you were safe.
If you want to envision my setup in my room, it's just my bed facing a Titanic bookshelf with a 32-inch flat screen on top of it and I just stare up at it like a hospital patient. I don't have to sit up.
This is already how I pictured your room.
Okay. Well, that's it. That's it, baby. No stripper pole. No disco ball, in case you're curious.
I
no wet
get a
bar.
Stripper pole.
No jacuzzi. Just a small.
If you get a stripper
bed.
Pole, I'll come over and practice.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. And what kind of garb?
Cross my heart. I will practice in my hot pant shorts and my tank top.
Really?
What I, which
can we
what
put
I
up like a glass wearing. Wall and my pants can come off as long as the wall is.
I'll consider that.
Really?
That'll be in negotiations.
Huh.
Depends on where the pole is, how much room I have.
Wow. Yeah. Now I know what to get for my 30th birthday. Stripper pole and plexiglass. Lots of Windex. So I fire up It's a Trap.
Hmm.
And at the beginning, we've all seen at least one Star Wars film. And we know how the text scrolls up into space far away from us. And it's kind of a cool effect when you're 8, I suppose.
Well, if you haven't seen it before and it was the late 70s, I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
all
pretty
right.
badass.
Yeah.
So this text is scrolling by and Seth MacFarlane's doing some pretty funny shtick. And he's like going on about how he feels kind of drained by the time this one came out.
Really?
Yeah, and then he's mentioning that there's a car that's been parked in front of his house, and he knows someone lives in it because there's a pillow there, and it moves, like, 2 feet either direction every day. And he's like, I like to pretend it's actually a family of raccoons that's moving it around. So I'm like, okay, this is kind of funny stuff. And then we get to the last paragraph, and I wrote it down verbatim this morning before I sealed it back up in its Netflix envelope and sent it on its merry way.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth says, look, just do me a huge favor and lower your expectations, okay? Just this one time, I promise I'll make it up to you. I mean, Star Wars, fine. Empire, still not bad. But on this one, we ran out of gas. Seriously, we even let the assistants write it. Hell, even the FedEx guy got a joke in, and he calls the baby Steve. Anyway, here's Return of the Jedi starring Steve as Darth Vader. So it's funny. That's funny, right? I laughed. I mean, I didn't LOL. I didn't LULZ.
No.
I didn't LMAO, but I chuckled.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, oh.
Yeah, I was like, oh, oh, you rapscallion and your quick wits.
So clever, you.
I'm in for a ride. Well, you know what? That's funny until you realize it's just the truth. And then it's just goddamn throwing in the towel. And yeah. I'm not saying, really, that Family Guy as a product on the whole has jumped the shark or anything. I laugh at Family Guy.
Yeah.
But yes. It's a Trap was so goddamn painfully unfunny. Do you know the one big laugh?
Hmm.
And this is going to blow your mind that it made me laugh, and this must have been so hard to write. Remember Peter got frozen in the carbonite?
Yes.
Because he plays Han in this?
Yes.
They thaw him out of the carbonite. And as soon as his ass thaws, you just hear him farting. And he just keeps on farting as he's explaining, sorry, sorry, that's been building up a while, sorry. And it's just Peter farting for 30 seconds.
Now, that doesn't surprise me that it makes you laugh. Or it might make me laugh because
that really
part of the beauty of Family Guy is that they will do things and they will do it and you'll go, hee hee, that was funny. And then they continue to do it and then you feel that uncomfortable, when is this joke going to stop? And then they go long with it that you're just like, I cannot believe they're just going on. And then you laugh because it's like, I can't believe
they're
still
doing this. Oh,
there was
a lot of this, except there's no laugh payoff at the end. Oh. It was just like, holy ass. Like, there really was a point where I had this existential, like, I'm looking in at me. And I was just like, this is your life? This is what you're doing?
And then you walked on the beach and you killed some people because why not?
Exactly.
That was Camus, for those of you who aren't into the existentialist genre.
There you go.
Sorry. Bringing a little literary for you.
What? He's, no, he's not. Kierkegaard's the sickness unto death.
Yeah.
There you are. You are.
Well, you were a philosophy? No, psych?
I did a little philosophy.
Yeah, you did a little everything because you can't do quite much of anything.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, so that's too bad. That's too bad.
And it got me to thinking. It got me to thinking straight up. Family Guy, the crux of Family Guy's humor, far more so than anything else he does, far more than Cleveland, far more than American Dad. And you can say whatever the hell you want about those two.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're hit and miss, but I like their strong episodes.
Okay.
I'm not going to say they're unfunny because American Dad entertains me. I'll typically sit through Cleveland. It's got its funny shtick, too. But Family Guy, more than anything, it relies on parody. Not satire, but parody. And they reference all the time outside, you know, material. Mm-hmm. And if you're not familiar with that...
It's not funny.
It's not funny. And it got me thinking, does that mean parody is just like a lower form of humor? Is it junk humor? And I concluded, and I know we're going to get into it over mm-hmm. this... Because we predetermined that before the show started.
Shh.
Pulling back the Oz curtain.
Pull away our secrets.
I think it is a lower form of comedy.
I'm going to have to agree. No.
Son of a bitch.
Wait, I want to interject here really quickly that I did laugh out loud at a American Dad line.
I'm not that interested in it,
but they did have a really funny line one night at the beginning of an episode, and I actually laughed at it. Uh-huh. So,
no, I mean, as like I said, as a whole, I like everything Seth does, more or less.
I don't think American Dad's that great. I think they, you know, have one joke out of every five episodes that I'm just like, yeah, I like that. Cleveland, I didn't find funny at all. I watched a few episodes and was like, yeah, not even going to bother. Family Guy, I will not necessarily make a point to watch it, but it's a higher on my list of things that I chose.
So. I enjoy it, but I look back at the laughs and I almost feel like a retard for laughing
they
at
are,
half of it.
It was
very involuntary.
They're cheap.
They're laughs based on just like, I recognize this and I know what you're talking about because you referenced it directly. It's very different from creating a world like maybe The Simpsons do mm-hmm. that parallels the things that happen in your life,
yeah, no,
and you laugh at the familiarity of something that you're not intimately familiar with.
Right.
Like,
The
but
Simpsons doesn't reference an outside world.
They'll exactly.
self-reference their own world. They don't self-reference that much in the sense of we know we're a TV show kind of thing.
And when
Family Guy also does that. They self-reference.
They do reference things. At least they used to do it so brilliantly, The Simpsons. Like, I remember one
episode. They make up a fictional version of the
thing.
Well,
not just that. Even before they got that lame.
Yeah.
Like, think of the episode Homer goes to clown college. And he's just sitting there in front of his mashed potatoes, and he's sculpting them. Yeah, exactly. Into, like, a little clown tent or whatever, a la Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And it's great. Like, it was weird yet funny. You could laugh if you hadn't seen Close Encounters.
Yeah.
If you did see it, you're like, this is goddamn great.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, if they did that on Family Guy, I'd be like, hey, Peter, remember that time you wanted to go to clown college and you sculpted your mashed potatoes into the thing from, you know, having Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
That's true.
And then they cut to it for 5 seconds, then they cut back to them on the couch.
Yeah.
To me, one of these is far more intelligent than the other.
And yeah, I will definitely agree with you that Simpsons is, you know, if we're going to compare the two, Simpsons, in its entirety, is a far superior show in terms of the sophistication of humor, which is really funny to say.
What was that word? There we go. Continue.
The sophistication of the humor. I mean, even that sounds funny to say because, you know, they started out saying, you know, with the jokes being Bart saying bad words or whatever.
Yeah.
But the writers are really intelligent.
They
really think a lot. Yeah, no.
It's a much crappier show
now. They started low. They hit a high point for several years.
They were low for one season.
They started
one,
low.
Sorry,
they
as
hit
I,
a
as
high
I
point
audibly
for
burp into the mic.
Yeah, sophistication. What?
They got it in spades.
They
lady.
Really hit a stride. It was great. No,
first
I
season
agree.
Sucked where they looked like cave paintings.
You know what? I think the writers got tired. It's worn out. You know, you can't
actually
keep something going for.
I can give you an insight into what happened with The Simpsons and how it went astray. This is no BS.
All right.
This is courtesy of co-worker comedian Danny Rouillé,
mm-hmm.
who is the co-host on Overtime with Bill Roland, the show that I help out with
mm-hmm.
a couple times a week. He was saying that back in The Simpsons' infancy, it was essentially broken down into two writing teams.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the teams was responsible for generating, like, their whole focus was, these are the Simpsons. They have 2.5 children. They are the all-American family.
The plot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So their plot centered around making the Simpsons do very ordinary crap.
Right.
Like Bart has problems in school.
Just like a sitcom, like a regular sitcom. You have to have, these are our everyday, it's a situational comedy. So
perfect.
Their situation is a family, and the comedy comes with the other team, I'm assuming.
No, just one team. They both were responsible for generating full scripts that were comedic. One just focused on the Simpsons represent everything American. They're from Springfield.
Oh, and then they would combine them.
They're everything normal. No, they didn't even combine them.
Okay, then what did they do?
You goddamn interrupt her. The other team was like, they're cartoon characters. It's not a real sitcom. We can do whatever the F we want with them. Like the episode where Homer's an astronaut. We can't do that with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. We can't send him into space.
Shut up, you can.
Homeboys in Outer Space was not Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
You clearly have not read my fanfic.
Just because they look alike to you.
You have not read my fanfic.
Oh, God. Get out. Just walk a shame out of here now. Okay. So the other team's like, we can do whatever the hell we want. And so the plots were zany, off-the-wall type crap. And at first, in the earlier seasons, Fox would be like, one of you, one of you, one of you, one of you. They would just bounce back and forth taking scripts from either one. And he said as time passed and the show kind of got lesser and lesser, it's because the crazy team, where the Simpsons were doing everything zany and off-the-wall, Fox really came to love their work. And the other team was getting like one or two scripts a season by the end of it. And now it's like all just the zany team.
Yeah, but I feel like overall the show, it's petered out. You can't keep it going. Like, it's just, some things just have to die. Seriously.
So we both stare at each other and think, this radio show?
Some things just have to be, cut off. And The Simpsons were great. And I totally understand, because every once in a while, they're still
every
doing so good
work often,
now.
Every so often, Brundlefly has to lift the shotgun to his head. Brundlepod at that stage. I'm sorry.
They're still doing, there's an episode, or, The Simpsons will still come up with something that's
good.
It's still
amusing. It's just not.
It's not the same. It's
like
not the peak.
Seeing a woman, a beautiful actress who's now in her 50s, mid-50s.
But you know what?
You still got a little something, honey.
If Family Guy had ever achieved that awesomeness that The Simpsons had, we would look at what they have now and be like, oh, yeah, they lost it.
Yeah,
They haven't achieved that pinnacle.
I feel Family Guy has only gotten better with time. They've gotten sharper and more fast-paced.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think their brand of humor is also responsible for the older stuff looking so bad. I watch older Family Guys. They're goddamn unwatchable to me.
It's amazing how the pacing makes such a difference, because I'll watch older Simpsons and older Family Guys, and it's not just the jokes, but sometimes it's the pacing that just makes a huge difference in how funny
me,
I think it is.
I adore older Simpsons, seasons 1 through 6, up until the one that ends with Maggie shooting Mr. Burns. I have all those memorized verbatim, watched them in syndication a million times. To me, that is probably the biggest comedic influence in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Family Guy.
It doesn't show.
Really? Really not at all?
Because I like The Simpsons.
Yeah. I hate you so much.
No, and
cackling away with your mean face.
No, but Family Guy, the thing about parody, not Family Guy,
Family Guy is so high on the parody totem pole, too. That's it done at its best. I'm not even bringing up date movie, disaster movie. God, that's the dregs. I tanked a date one time just so I wouldn't have to see date movie.
I would agree.
I was
with
a gorgeous blonde art
teacher.
Because
if she wanted to see it, you know what? I would not want to date her.
Well, women can be picky. Guys are whores. She was really cute. And she goes, so you want to watch date movie or Snicker Snicker Brokeback Mountain? And I was like, so help me God.
It was a trick question.
I'm not sitting through date movie. I'm like, you know what?
It was a trick question. And when you got there, she's going to be like, surprise, we're going to the action flick.
I guess. I was just like, give me the Cowboys with the Hershey Highway love story. I don't care. Don't care. Not sitting through goddamn date movie. And she was like, okay. She was kind of taken aback. And I was like, what's up this chick's butt?
She really likes them. All right. Well, she has no sense of humor. We've
determined
that.
We never talked after that.
Really?
I always loved it because her IM name was Lainey C. Mm-hmm. And anytime a chick wrongs me and she has C anywhere, I just fill it in with C next Tuesday.
I gotcha.
But that is,
I think
that is another story for another day.
I like parody in the sense that it's the inside joke. It definitely is the inside joke. So
in that, it makes you feel special for catching it. You're like,
it makes you
know
feel special.
It
makes you feel so. Futurama uses some of it. They don't use
That's
it as
I think
their main
so
plot.
Much weaker than The Simpsons.
They don't,
so much
they
of
don't
it's
use
born
it as
out
their,
of
their main plot, parody. Though. That they'll throw parody in. They'll throw references into
okay.
things, and they it's not the same style as.
Oh God, I'm such a,
but anyway,
not to interrupt. Every time I hear the word parody, I just. Picture a parrot on a pirate's shoulder. I'm such an idiot.
So I'd be liking the parody.
Yeah. It's just an adjective.
What is wrong?
Like a parrot. It's parody. How did that chicken taste? Parody. How does her? How does the mother-in-law sound? Parody. Continue. Sorry.
So I'd be liking the parody because. I can't do it fire it now because I'm
Blackbeard, how do you like your birds?
Our parody.
Thank you. scene.
Yeah, I think I think it's enjoyable because it is referencing something that you share. And people like to know that other people have the same experiences.
Yeah.
So
you want to feel human.
I'm a huge nerd. So when I see nerdy jokes about nerdy things, like, say, literature.
Yeah.
I say, haha, somebody else read that book. And I feel good, and I think it was funny. We have a caller.
We do. Son of a bitch. And the phone pod's been
up
the whole time.
I hope they sound parody.
Hello. Hi, feedback.
Hello.
Who do we have?
My name is Saul.
Okay. Guys, goddamn. I'm letting you go.
Keep it together.
Whoa, Guillermo, what are you doing awake?
After 15 hours of sleep.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Everybody, this is Will.
Yes, holy hell. Thanks for waking me up.
Hey, I didn't want to, man. I felt guilty. I figured you earned it.
Oh, Jesus, dude. I guess. I went to bed at like 10 o'clock last night.
Oh, you don't have to tell me. I came home and you were already passed out.
And then I woke up at like 3 in the morning to go to the gym. And after 2 hours of like laying in bed, I was just like, no.
I was still up when you did that.
Yeah, and then it's just like.
You got up and you kind of looked purposeful. And I was just like, where does he think he's going?
I mean, that's what I usually do, but. I'm just out of gas, I guess.
Hey, you needed it. You actually work hard.
Thank you.
But you've been listening at all, or what?
Yeah, no, it sounded good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I sound like a real radio duo.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Well, we could have used you in here, but all good.
Thank you.
I got to work on my fake laugh more.
Are you up to anything today, sir, or what?
I think Allison's coming over in a bit.
Don't let her see your Twitter.
Why?
Explained it earlier on the show.
Yeah. There's nothing on there.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't care.
That's the
right answer.
There
That's
the
truth. Yeah.
All right, bro.
The quote, what was it? School for scoundrels, lie, and lie
some
more.
God, you know what? A bad movie, but a good one.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain my feelings towards School for Scoundrels. Overall, like it, but it's horrible.
Yeah. No, it's a piece of ass, but like we said, you know, even bad movies will have at least like 1 to 2. Like it was, even was it Malibu's Most Wanted?
Yeah,
has some LOL moments.
I'm sorry, I'm with him on this. Well, she's really scowling at me.
What?
It does.
She's on the phone. So
we'll reenact the great.
All right,
well,
okay. Go talk to your honey.
To the radio show and you at the same time.
Can you do the best scene and then hang up on that note?
What? Oh, yeah, no, I can't.
What? It's cool. You can say the N-word on the internet.
I'm not Terry Crews.
Okay.
Bye, Will.
Later.
Bye, guys.
Yeah, there's a great scene at the very end.
But now he calls in. He's, like, special. Now he doesn't even have to show up at the studio. He just phones it in.
You're not getting that privilege. I saw the gears clicking in your head. You are not getting that.
Will.
But, yeah, I just feel it's kind of a lesser, it's lesser comedy.
Parody.
It's harder parody.
Parody.
Squawk.
Squawk.
Okay. Parody. We can't keep going. Now all I can think of. I'm literally
it's
seeing
like
a parrot on your shoulder as I look over at you. Soon
What's
you'll just
wrong?
Look like a big parrot.
What's wrong, John?
No, in a second I'm going to start having like Billy Madison
Johnny
hallucinations.
Johnny Water Cracker?
It's too damn hot for penguins out here. That will be on Will's mic, just a titanic parrot staring back at me, flapping its wings.
Awesome.
As I look at the latest issue of Drunk Chicks. All right, shall we close shop with what I gotta say is one of the dumber things that I've watched in some time. And Bill O'Reilly's responsible. Fancy that. Fancy that brain trust being responsible for something stupid.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So
this offends me so much.
And you know what? It would have kind of not been a burr under my saddle. Is that how that goes? A burr in my ass, something?
No, a bird on your shoulder.
No, B-U-R-R, like Raymond Burr.
A burr on your shoulder.
A big fat.
A burr up your butt.
A big, titanic, fat Raymond Burr in my rectum, just expanding it beyond all human.
With the wheelchair.
Yeah. And here recites War of the Worlds, page by page. No, a burr in my saddle, something.
See, now that would be a Family Guy, like, cut scene.
Yeah.
So, just sorry, I just started to picture it in my head.
It works like that. It's just free association.
Okay, so you had a bee in your bonnet.
I wouldn't have cared so much about the crap that came out of Bill O'Reilly's mouth the other week in response to someone asking along the lines of, can you prove there's a God? And, of course, who wouldn't want to ask Bill O'Reilly that?
Because he's such a known theologian.
He's just raw intelligence and, you know, a pillar of moral, pillar of everything I wish to emulate in life. So, thank God someone asked him. Maybe next we can get Bootsy Collins and then
I would love to hear Bootsy Collins.
I like Bootsy's answer more than Bill's. Bootsy would say some weird ass about a mothership and Professor Funkenstein and the Funk clones and... Yeah, at least be creative. Yep. Bill's just, long story short, I was crushing some Sagan. I was on a Carl Sagan kick. Brilliant. Now that's a man you listen to his words about God.
Yes, you do.
And he was talking about just the vastness of the cosmos. And I don't think he never came out and said that he's very
and this is
atheist instead of agnostic. But it was along the lines of, look, it's incredibly difficult to believe that there's any kind of God that cares about us, is intimately connected to us on any level.
And this is the great thing about Sagan, because he takes these two things which are distinct from each other in my mind, religion and
science. Bootsy Collins.
And Bootsy Collins. Yeah. Three things that we have here. And I think you can be very, very scientific and still be very religious. And I don't see
and he loves that. He completely is aghast that so many people in the religious community are so vehemently anti-science.
Yeah, and that's
especially
why I love
when
Sagan.
The religious community eventually, without fail, adopts what the scientific community comes to assert.
Because eventually they grow
brains. We no
longer
believe that we revolve, you know, everything revolves around the Earth. We no longer believe that it's flat.
Yeah, and he...
Unless you're an idiot, you don't think the Earth is 6,000 years old.
And he's very even-handed about it. He doesn't attack anybody. He just lays things out there. And
like me,
yeah, Sagan,
a peaceful little cherub, just full of wisdom. Just laying it out there. Never
you
attacking.
Are kind of cherub-shaped.
I
will give you that. You
hate
like
you.
The Afro-cherub.
Cherub's going to pull out
Mediterranean
his...
Mediterranean cherub.
Cherub's going to pull down his diaper and wave his arrow around if you don't shut your yap.
No, I really think Sagan is great.
Yeah, he's
Sagan
good
is
stuff.
Great. He deals with a very touchy topic extremely well.
And I would say the crux of what I read in his book, it was it's very hard to argue we are special and alone in the universe, whereas I think it's kind of a case of a million monkeys at a million typewriters. One of them's going to give you Shakespeare after a while.
And it was the best of times.
It was
the
blurst
of times.
You stupid monkey. So here's this clip of Bill. And Bill, God bless him, he has that kind of like conservative broadcaster streak that I just don't have, where he's angry and he's assertive and he knows exactly what's right. And I get the feeling Bill could talk for 8 hours and not be stuck.
That's the problem with people who are completely wrong. They always know exactly what's right.
Yeah, but it makes for great broadcasting.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I think Rush Limbaugh is a tool. So good behind a mic, though.
Yeah.
So good behind a mic.
If you're adamant about something, it creates the...
Such a talented broadcaster. Don't agree with him, but so good.
If you create controversy and you create disagreement, but people also want to hear someone who's in charge.
Yeah.
That's another thing. You know, why do we like Hitler? Because
in charge
Hitler...
explanation.
Yeah, it's because Hitler says these are these facts. They don't... People who don't make you think about gray area and don't make you think that there might be good and bad in something make you feel comfortable. Because if something is all bad, and I feel a lot this way about the W. Bush administration made America feel like this is good and this is bad.
It was so simple.
And that feels so good to me.
Here, give me an explanation. Why are people screaming back and forth in the hallway like it's the goddamn steps?
Because our on-air light is broken.
They don't care. I want to know what the hell's... Mary! I want to know what the hell's going on in the other room.
I don't know. They're doing some broadcast or something. I don't know.
I don't want to like invoke any stereotypes here, but...
Mary!
Certain someone's being certain volume, if you know what I mean.
You want me to sing the Jeffersons theme?
No.
Oh, okay.
God damn. It is loud, man.
Play Papa Bear.
We got all kinds
of... Papa Bear, play Papa Bear O'Reilly.
Okay. Papa O'Reilly. All right. Here's Bill talking. There's our snappy little intro jingle to BillO'Reilly.com. Backstage conversation.
David, Beverly Hills, Florida. What do you mean when you refer to the tides when you ask about the existence of God? Science explains the tides. The moon's gravity pulls on the ocean. Okay, how'd the moon get there? How'd the moon get there?
And he's just staring at the camera, completely belligerent.
How'd the moon get there?
How'd the moon get there? Like, it's almost like a bully saying, stop hitting yourself.
And it's like, do you not expect me to answer because the Earth and the other planets
and gravity,
formed the science?
Well, Bill's got you beat on that one. Here it comes.
Look, you pinheads who attacked me for this.
We're pinheads.
Look, you know, my head's kind of fat. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah. You're the edge of the pin that the yarn
goes
through.
Yeah, the stubby edge of the pin.
You guys are just desperate. How'd the moon get there?
We're desperate.
How'd the sun get there? Well, everyone's desperate. I got a boyfriend.
Yeah. Everyone's attacking him. I love it. Everyone's attacking him.
Just desperate to attack him.
Yeah.
It's true.
It gets my D rock hard to attack Bill O'Reilly. I wake up and I don't have morning wood because I haven't gotten laid in 6 years.
You know what? But... And I gave up on Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
Because
it's Bill
I just
O'Reilly.
Don't want to attack Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd I get there? Can you explain that to me? How come we
actually,
have that?
I love how he thinks he can in any real way. He explains it through God, a magical being creating all this from nothingness.
Yeah, because I said so. It's like it's the parent argument. How did the moon get there? Because I said so.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay then.
The guy's a twit.
And Mars doesn't have it.
Mars doesn't have it.
How come?
And now he's arguing we're special.
Because the Earth has a moon, but Mars and Venus... Wait a minute.
No, we're special because life can exist on our planet, and he's saying it's so close to it on Mars, but it doesn't happen. Well, you know what? We're going to view us as special because to us, we're the only anything that exists.
But the thing is, it's like some billions of miles. Even though Mars is so close, it's really not so close to the sun.
You know who else thinks they're special and unique? The
snowflakes.
Those
snowflakes. I am so sick of those snowflakes.
The Zlarps and the Znorf gallery or whatever the hell the aliens are.
I think they're going to be really angry with you mispronouncing their name.
That's their word
it's
for
so
each
racist
other.
Of you.
We can't call them
that. It's so
oh, God. We got
a caller.
We'll finish up with that. Not Bill. Bill, that tool. Hello. Yay.
Wow.
Oh, my favorite kind of caller.
It was Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, my God. That's
going to explain
the best
it to
caller
us.
Of all. I like Will. And I kind of like that random guy who called before who's gray. He actually listens to us all the time. And I think he used to want to bang Veronica, our former co-host.
Uh-huh.
S. Co-hostesses. So I like him calling in, too.
Cupcakes.
Actually, all the callers are great today. We had a hang-up. We had Will and Gray Dude. So thanks to all of you. Kate.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in today.
Yeah. I didn't put pants on for
thanks,
it,
liquid
so.
Enthusiasm. Anything you wanted to plug?
Fast Eddie's, February 26th, Betty Noir, B-E-T-T-E-N-O-I-R.
Oh my God, my birthday.
NOIR.com.
Yeah, how about I plug February 26th, my birthday?
Yeah, you should come to our show.
And all the moons D-bag. Will run bled. No, I screwed it up, just like Will Ferrell screwed it up in the bit. I wanted to say something about the moon running red with blood, but I pooched it.
Yeah.
How did the blood get on the moon? Explain that.
Can you explain that to me?
Pinhead.
Can you explain that?
All right, so Feb 26th, I'll be there for my birthday.
All right.
Betty Noir.
Yeah.
At Fast Eddie's in
Centerville, Fast Eddie's. So it's near you.
And your site, at Atomic Kate.
AtomicKate.com. AtomicCate.com. Woo! That's also my Twitter handle.
That's a smart girl. My website, InPapa'sBasement.com, where you can hear all these damn shows, see all my writing, subscribe to the iTunes. You can find me on Twitter. If you don't want to go to the website, you just want to add me on Twitter, period. It's at Papa's Basement. If you're a girl and you want to flirt with the very taken Billy Basil, my brother, go to at Billy Basil and do that. Lower yourself. Hit on that taken. Reach for that taken fruit. All right, until next week, Kate, I thank you. I see the night train pulling in.
Woo woo!
And we are out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.